It's been an amazing journey, this series, through Psalm 51 up to 100. Hope and pray that you've been blessed by it. But I've been reflecting on a lot of things, and I came into the ministry full-time in 1994, so it's been a long time since I really concentrated on teaching the Bible into local congregations and trying to get folks to accept the Word of God and to be blessed by it, because it's a wonderful privilege to be able to receive God's Word. You know, the beginning of wisdom is knowledge of God. And it's a wonderful thing, and I've been so blessed to be able to do that. But it's been a sad time at times, though, even though it's a wonderful privilege. And what I mean by sad times? Well, some folks testify that the years they spent studying the Bible and the wonderful truths about God are still spiritually dry. How can that be, you wonder? But as their minds were filled with this knowledge of the Scripture, their hearts kind of grew colder towards Jesus. Now, I think it's really hard to pray sometimes, and I went through that period of time too, a period of dryness. But something is seriously wrong when growth and knowledge about God doesn't produce hearts that are filled with more joy and thanksgiving to God. Now, Psalm 100 is an enthusiastic psalm, as I just read it, a psalm of praise. And it makes you wonder, but, I say but because you know I love the buts and the ifs, if you plant those seeds, I don't know of anybody who hadn't eventually came around and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, sometimes we get to be spiritually dry because we're in the world, not of the world. That's what Jesus said. So we got to deal with this worldly stuff. And when that happens, we do. We kind of get spiritually dry at times. But being in that Psalm 100 is an enthusiastic psalm of praise. It's a psalm that kind of talks to us in two parts. And they both make the same point. The foundation of praise is knowledge. True knowledge of God should lead us to the right worship of God. And I think the psalm begins with a threefold invitation to praise God, shout for joy, worship the Lord, and come before Him with joyful songs. But why does God deserve our praise, preacher? Well, verse 3, I think, gives us three reasons. First, He is our Creator. He had created the heavens and the earth, and He created you and me in His image. And I don't think we would have a life apart from Him. Secondly, I think we are His people because He is our Redeemer. He made us and purchased us by His own blood from His Son. You can find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. And the other thing, we've been talking a lot about it, He is our Shepherd. He's the one who feeds and protects and guides us. The second part of that psalm in Psalm 100 appears to be very important, a truth, that knowledge of God leads to true praise. Again, I repeat the call to thanksgiving and praise in verse 5 begins with one important word, for. Once again, we are given three reasons to pray. Our thanksgiving and give God praise for all things, because our thanksgiving is based on our knowledge and the character of God. He is good, He is loving, He is faithful, and all these wonderful truths were perfectly made known to us when God became human in the Lord Jesus Christ. I think that is the most wonderful gift that God could ever have given to us. Because He wanted to understand His creation better. That's why He came in the form of a human, so that He could experience everything that we experience, but stay true to the Father and live a sinless life. Oh, preacher, you mean we could live a sinless life? Yeah, we could, but when sin entered into the world, it doesn't give us the same kind of things that we need to live a sinless life, because we get deceived and we lean towards all this worldly stuff at times. But praise be to God, because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. and we have been made well and made whole, and we have a place waiting for us in the heavenly kingdom, because God loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that's everybody, would believe in him will not die but have eternal life. What a wonderful gift God has given to us. I don't know why people hesitate and get dry on their spiritual thing, because I like what the Apostle Paul said. If we only had this life to look forward to, my own paraphrase, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and the promise coming again of Jesus, we have hope. We have hope. Hope. Can you imagine the blessed hope that we have? You can't go through life without hope. You'd be a miserable puppy. Well, anyhow, I digress. We can learn a couple things from this psalm. Any worship of God that isn't based on true knowledge of God is empty and shallow. Jesus said God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4, verse 24. Now, any worship not based on the true knowledge does not honor and glorify our great God, and more importantly, our Savior. And then the other thing, I think the purpose of the knowledge of God is that it leads us to true and joyful worship of God. You see, there's no spiritual value in simply just reading the scriptures and studying more and more. No, the God of the Bible, if it isn't changing your heart and changing your life, then you're just reading a dead story. But if the only thing in the book of Psalms has done for all of us, I think, is to help us better understand the Psalms. Because the Psalms were written before Jesus came into the world. And in Psalm 22, it prophesied about Jesus, about him hanging on the cross and dying for the forgiveness of our sin. Because God was getting ready to bring to fruition, if you would, all the things that the psalmist was talking about, and all the hope and the joy that we, privileged, were able to come and experience when God humbled himself in the form of a human and come and shed his own blood for the forgiveness of sin. Because, see, the Old Testament people, they knew, because it's the way it was taught. It was taught in the Torah that there had to be for shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sin. Well, animal sacrifices didn't do it because they kept on sinning, didn't they? But the blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of sin makes everything well and whole. Jesus said that whenever I forgive you of your sins, they are cast in the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered again. Ah, I am so glad for that, because, boy, I had some things that would be always haunting me. But then I come to realize God will let me go get those things, bring it out, use it for his glory. And then when I give testimony, then he allows me to put all that stuff back into the deepest of the sea, never to be remembered anymore. So that haunting spirit of what the devil likes to do to us is gone. Jesus gave us a clue. It is written, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And if we call upon the name of the Lord, you not only have that victory over sin and death, you got victory over that worldly god known as Satan the Deceiver. Well, anyhow, I don't know what we're going to do on the next series. I've been thinking about some things, and even after I retire, I've had some people say, "Are you going to continue on with the podcast, The Word is the Way to Life?" And I think I will. And if you want to continue, send me an email, or send it through Phil, either one. It's my email as that address is my last name, Wrightstone, WRIGHTSTONE, at EmbarkMail. That's one word, EmbarkMail. But for the next few weeks, until June the 28th, I hope you can come to be a part of the worship service. It'll be my last Sunday here at Bethel, and I'd love to see you and give you a hug and thank you for all the blessings you all have given to Judy and I over these many years. Now it's just hard to believe it. It's 10 years. Wow, what a wonderful thing. Well, study your Bible. That's really what you need to do. Study your Bible and let the Word of God permeate your heart. And then you will be able to guard against all this worldly stuff, because then you'll become spiritually well and filled with the anointing, not spiritually dry. Because being spiritually dry does not participate in life-changing transformation, but through the grace of the love of the Holy Spirit, you don't get Jesus in pieces, you get him all. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So my challenge for all of us as we endure this old world, let us be able to be filled with joy and continue to be singing Methodists in our church and sing scripture songs based on the true knowledge of God Almighty. May God bless you and keep you, and we'll see you next week. And I'm not sure what we're going to talk about for the remaining weeks, but God will give us the wisdom. Amen. Have a good day.